Welcome to the I Speak FSBO podcast, where we pull back the curtain from the real estate industry and expose everything they don't want you to know. We share tips, tricks, myths, and truths to fight against outdated real estate traditions so you can sell your home for top dollar without having to pay a dime in commission or sacrifice your time. It's time for homeowners to take back the power and break up the monopoly. This is the I Speak FSBO podcast, and this is your host, Josh Knox.
Hey everybody, what's up? It's Josh with the I Speak FSBO podcast. Welcome to the episode. Today I wanted to talk to you about the three main negotiation times that happen during a home sale. So, and I want to say about negotiation, it's often misunderstood, the word negotiation. A lot of people are thinking this is this really complex issue that's going on between two people or two different parties. And the reality in home sales, especially residential home sales of the variety that we're talking about, you know, property that's listed from, you know, anywhere from 250,000 to maybe 600,000 or so, the negotiations that are happening aren't necessarily high pressure or, you know, super difficult techniques. They're conversations that people are having. Oftentimes, they're conversations that people are having just over paper. So one party says, hey, we're going to submit an offer. The other party receives the offer, reviews it. And then instead of just picking up the phone and saying, you know, what are you really after here? They try and see if they can just assume what the other person's after, so they might write a counter offer or what have you. And so when we say negotiation, it's not always a true negotiation in the sense that, you know, two sides are trying to get the better of the other side. They're trying to simply come to an agreement of terms. So when it comes to that, I just wanted to leave that with you, because negotiations aren't as tough as people would make them seem. They're not as arduous. They're not as complex. Like I've said before, the real estate purchase contracts or real estate purchase agreements are fill-in-the-blank documents. So it's not like you have to come up with really complex things. You're coming up with a price. You're coming up with timing. And that is the first main thing that is negotiated during a home sale. It's the opening offer, right? That's the first negotiation you're going to get into as a seller. So, example, you've listed your house for sale, you're getting phone calls, you're getting showings, you're going through just the normal process that people go through when they sell a home, and eventually you get an offer. And when that offer comes in, that's your first negotiation. So you look at, you know, the price that the buyers are offering, the earnest money that they're willing to bring to the table, the financing that they need to get, the time frame that they would like to get everything done in. This is all part of the initial negotiation of the offer that you receive. Now, don't get lost here. It's just a matter of figuring out the price and the timing, right? But that is your first main area. And you don't need to overthink it. You don't need to be overwhelmed by it. If you were to work with a real estate agent, what they're going to do is they're likely going to go, okay, let's look at our net sheet and let's see where this offer shakes out. And then let's look at a calendar. So let's see where the offer shakes out in terms of the dollars that you're going to get out of the deal. And then let's look at a calendar. Now, because you're listening to the podcast, you've decided to sell on your own. You're doing the same thing, right? You look at your net sheet. You go, okay, how does the offer stack up from where we want to be with the sale at the end, right? So you put the offer price that they gave you at the top, and then you subtract the closing costs such as title and title policy fees, and then title closing fees, whether you use a title office or you use a real estate attorney to do that, depending upon the state you're in. There's going to be some fees for that. You might have concessions if you agreed to give those to the buyer if the buyer asks for them. So you just take all those numbers, just do some calculation and figure out where you're at with the dollars, right? So that's your first part of understanding what the buyer is bringing to you. in that phase of the negotiations. The second one is to look at the calendar, and you're just looking at the dates on the calendar. When do they hope to get their inspections done by? When do they hope to have their appraisal done by? When do they hope to close? Do those dates work with you? If they do, great. If they don't, then counter offer some of those dates, tighten them up. And by tighten them up, what I mean is, if they're trying to ask for more time, you're trying to squeeze less time out of them, if that makes sense. So as an example, if they said they wanted 14 days to do an inspection, you should know that they can probably get it done in 7 to 10 days. So tighten up that deadline. That's what I mean by that. Okay, so once you get under, or once you go under contract with a buyer, meaning the offer was accepted, whether in its original format or through a counter offer or what have you, once that first piece of negotiation has happened and everybody's signed on the contract and you now have a contract that can be executed, the next main negotiation time is during the inspection. And that is because no home is perfect, and so a buyer will do their due diligence. And this is for any traditional buyer. If you happen to sell your property to an investor for cash, then you wouldn't run into this. Your main negotiation is that price and closing time, and then usually the cash buyer just wants to move quickly and then you want to move on quickly. So for any traditional buyer that's likely going to move into the house, they're going to do an inspection, and once that inspection happens, then they're going to want to negotiate some things after that, because again, no home is perfect and they're likely going to find something. Now, you have to understand as a seller what market you're in to know where you can negotiate on this. If you are in a very hot seller's market, or even just in a seller's market, the chances of a buyer coming back to you for multiple things on an inspection report that they would either like you to fix or for you to pay for or for you to give concessions on is lower, because there is not enough property out there and there are plenty of buyers that would buy the house the way it is and they won't ask for those concessions. If you are in a neutral market where there's enough buyers and enough properties, then you're likely going to have a few concessions that you're going to give. And if you are familiar with your house, you should know what those are, but there's always something that comes up in an inspection that you may not be aware of. That's why people do inspections. And so as you're going through this negotiation point, just again, understand the market. If it looks like, you know, it's taking 3 to 6 months for a property to sell, then you're probably in a normal, what the industry calls a normal market. And so you're going to have a little bit of, you're going to have a little bit of flexibility there as a sale in order to meet the buyer's terms, because they might want a few things out of that inspection to be repaired or concessions given. Now, it does happen, but it's not something that happens as frequently as the other thing, and that is a big item. I mean, generally people know if their furnace isn't working, or if they have an air conditioner, if that's not working, or if their roof has a leak. Generally people know about big things like that. What will normally come up in an inspection are little items. Maybe a toilet is runs a little bit, or there's a drip in a faucet someplace in the house, or maybe one of the electrical outlets in the home doesn't work, or you know, maybe the shingles on the roof, while they're not leaking, just have reached their end of life and they might need to be replaced. And as a seller, you just have put it off and put it off. If it's not a major item, then learn to be flexible in that part of the process, especially in that sort of neutral market. Now, if you're in a buyer's market, then you're going to give concessions. You're just going to have to be even more flexible in that type of market. So pay attention to that, because once the original offer is given in each one of those markets and an inspection comes up, there is another negotiation period. That's the point of this podcast and this information. So keep that in mind when you're going through the process. Now, the third main area of negotiation, and not even as much as the inspection period, because there's, generally speaking, appraisals come in fine. They usually come in at value, maybe $1,000 or a couple thousand more dollars over the contract price. But this is the third main area to negotiate again during the sale of the property. And it really only happens if the appraisal comes in low. Now, if you listen to the podcast where we had a lender talk to us, Scott, he shared that the FHA loan programs and VA loan programs have more stringent appraisal guidelines. And when you have more stringent appraisal guidelines, it does open up a new negotiation window, somewhat similar to the inspection. So as you're going through the process in that main offer negotiation, it's good to know what type of financing the buyer wants to bring to the table. Now, FHA and VA loans close all the time, every day. I mean, it just happens. That's why they're a loan program out there, and that's why people use them, because they do close. They're a little bit easier on the borrower sometimes, and oftentimes they're a little bit more stringent on the seller of the property because of that appraisal that needs to happen. So when you're going through the appraisal, just know in the back of your mind what type of financing they were getting in the beginning, so that you know what you're going to deal with. If it's FHA or VA, then you are opening up another negotiation window. And it's not necessarily something that the buyer is demanding. It's something that the lender is demanding for their loan underwriting guidelines. So just keep that in mind. So as a recap, I want to say the three main negotiation times again are the original offer period, where you get the offer or offers coming to you that you review and then eventually accept one. The second negotiation time frame is during the inspection period. So the buyer does the inspection and they have an inspection report and they come to you. You're just going to determine whether you're in a seller's market, neutral market, or buyer's market, and then work from there. And then third is during that appraisal time period, where an appraisal could come in low, which means you're going to have to renegotiate the price. Or if you're in a seller's market and the appraisal comes in low, it is entirely possible for the buyer to bring in money to make up the difference. You just have to know how hot your market is. And especially if you had multiple offers on the property, which is common right now in a hot seller's market, and not every market in the US is a hot seller's market, but where they are hot, it is very common to see multiple offers on properties. So if an appraisal comes in low and you're in a hot seller's market, know that your negotiation is to go back to the buyer and go, look, I saw this is what you intended to put down on the property in terms of your down payment. I would like to see you make up the difference in the appraisal amount. Generally speaking, we're not seeing appraisal amounts that are $20,000 less. They're usually a couple thousand dollars less. I've seen them be five and I've seen them be 10. And you just have to understand that this is now a new negotiation window, because when the buyer has made the contract contingent upon the house appraising, then the buyer has to make a decision on whether or not they want to proceed, and they will come back to you and go, look, at appraise for less. So on their end, they're likely going to say, well, we should drop the price. You should just know, stay calm and go, well, I do know that you were bringing in X. You told me that when you originally offered. You can go back and look at the contract. And so during this negotiation piece, you understand that the buyer does have cash on their side, and maybe they can make up that difference. So you just go back to them and go say, well, we'd love for you to make up the difference. And if they say, well, that is all the cash we have, we can't make up the difference, then you're back and forth. Well, we can give you some of it, but you're going to have to find the other part of it. There are ways buyers can find to get property. So, and when they truly love your home and have already gone through the process and have paid for the appraisal and have paid for the inspection, you don't want to kill a deal over just, you know, $1,000 or $2,000. Because you don't know if you're going to be able to find another buyer. Now, if you did find multiple buyers, then you have something to work with. But if you just have the one buyer you're working with, it's likely that you're going to negotiate that price down only if that appraisal comes in quite low. But the point of this and saying all this in the summary was that there are those three times: the opening offer, the inspection period, and then the appraisal period. And if you'll just pay attention to those pieces, you'll come out of it just fine. And you'll know where the negotiation times are happening, and you'll be prepped and ready to deal with them. So as always, I hope that information is helpful, and I hope to see you on the next podcast.